is given to me to preach on today. And Acts 16 is the kind of background of the Philippian church in Philippi. So I'd like to read in chapter 16 from the book of Acts, and at the same time we'll read Philippians chapter 4, 2. If you have your Bible with you, please open your Bibles from the New Testament, Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 15. That is our first text. And the second one is the Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Okay, maybe you can put your finger here, Acts, and the next one is the Philippians, so you can just go to right away. Let's pray before we read the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here today. We are so weak because we are mere human beings, but we believe that your Word is so strong that you can change, you can empower us. Would you please come and help us to understand your Word so that we will hold on to it, we will live for your glory and honor. And bless us, bless our worship time. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God, Acts 16, verse 6 through 15. And they went through the region of Phrygia and in Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of an Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and then help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So getting sail to Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following the day, Neapolis, and then there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. This is how I say it. A seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Let's move to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious and in anything, but in everything by prayer and in supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen." One of the most fascinating stories from the Bible would be Paul's conversion story recorded in Acts 9. And Paul was the one who truly dedicated his life to persecute the early followers of Jesus Christ. That was his job. But yet after meeting with the risen Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, his life was dramatically changed. We all know that. This is how the Bible describes his sudden changes. In Acts 9, you don't have to look at it, I will read it. Acts 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was a very scary guy. But after meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, something happened. That's Acts 9, verse 20. And immediately, he didn't wait. Immediately, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." Something happened to him. The name of Jesus Christ was the reason for him to persecute the Christians. But now, the name of Jesus Christ became the reason for him to be persecuted. Isn't that beautiful? Since Paul dedicated his life to Jesus Christ, his ministry was driven by the Holy Spirit. That's our text, Acts chapter 16. Paul wanted to travel to Asia, but the Holy Spirit led him to Phrygia and Galatia. It's a different way. He wanted to go to Bithynia one more time, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him. That's Acts 16 and verse 7. He really wanted to preach the gospel in Asia and Bithynia, but yet the Holy Spirit did not allow him to move to these areas. Maybe Paul was very confused. He didn't know what to do. Then something happened to him. And then our text, Acts 16 and verse 9 and 10, says, you know, basically, all of a sudden somebody show up, you know, in vision and saying that, "Come over to Macedonia and help me, help us." And in verse 10, this is really great. I'm going to read it. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia and concluding, why? That God had called us to preach the gospel to them. They figured it out. Oh, this is God's will. So Paul and his companion believed that Timothy and Luke and any other person decided to visit Macedonia area. Then they arrived in the city named Philippi. Now, while they were staying in the city, they heard about a place of a prayer at the riverside. They didn't have many men. If they have 10 Jewish men, they could have a synagogue, but they didn't have a synagogue. That means less than 10 Jewish men there. So Paul and his companions went to the prayer meeting on the Sabbath day to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And verse 13 and 14 says, "On a Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of a prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together." Women came. Today is James Day. Isn't that interesting? Verse 14, "One who heard us was a woman named Lydia." Another woman came up. "From the city of Thyatira." Interesting city. "A seller of purple goods." Now, Paul preached the gospel to these women at the riverside, including Lydia. And they became Christians. These women started the church in Philippi with Paul. Isn't that amazing? Now, Paul's relationship to these people, the Philippian church, was very special, always special. His special heart for the Philippian Christians is well described in our text, which is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown." Now, this particular verse is just one verse. It tells us that Paul and his companion, all the people, they have a very good relationship, very strongly bonded together in Christ. They supported each other in many ways. What a wonderful picture that we see from here. Pray that our church will be like this. We should have this kind of relationship, bonded together in Christ. However, the Philippian church was not a perfect church. There's no perfect church in this world. Unfortunately, they had their own issues and troubles like us or other churches in the world. One of the biggest issues that they faced was division or disunity, or I can say dissension in their church. So Paul found out that it was very difficult for them to be united because of their differences. Historically, the city of Philippi was known as a gold rush town. A lot of gold there. So many people came to Philippi in the hope of finding gold. It was also known as a very important military outpost for the Roman Empire. That means a lot of soldiers or retired soldiers were in Philippi. So if we imagine their situation, the churches in Philippi, it will be like this, like a melting pot. Some of them were rich people, some were like poor, some of them were soldiers, some of them were civilians, some of them were masters, some of them were slaves. Some of them were Jewish Christians, and many, many others were Gentile Christians in the church. Different people? Different social statuses, different backgrounds, and different nationalities becoming one. Therefore, it will be nearly impossible for them to be united if they didn't have any common ground. But Paul emphasized that there was the common ground for everyone, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins of all the people. Jenny, can you bring water? That's why Paul commanded them and said in verse 1, it's very interesting, because of his relationship, strong relationship, he said, stand firm in the Lord. In other words, not your experience, not your social status, not your nationality, or not your skin color, but stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Standing firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the first step into the unity of the church. A church cannot be united if everyone claims about different things. The Philippian church did it. Jesus Christ says to be the center of our unity. Jesus Christ is the reason for our unity. Thank you. It appears that there were two different groups in the Philippian church. They were divided into two major groups that Paul found. That's why Paul mentions two names today, Euodia and Syntyche in verse 2. Who are they? Now, based on our text, we know that they were members of the church at Philippi, possibly leaders of the church, and that they were Gentile women Christians who had struggled beside Paul for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul mentioned that. They worked together with me. They were co-workers of Paul, his ministry. So we can say that, yes, they are. They were great Christians. But it seems that they disagreed with one another regarding the ministry of the church. We don't know what that was. That's why Paul says in verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. Now, Paul didn't talk about their real problem, but But the one thing was sure that the Philippian church was struggling. They were struggling along with these two ladies. There was disagreement over something. So therefore, here Paul says for them, his words are very clear and strong and specific. Urge. He says, think the same thing. That's a literal translation from Philippians chapter 4 and 2. Our ESV says, agree in the Lord. The words that Paul used in Greek text are not only about thinking the same thing or agree, but also it is about the idea of having the same feelings and attitudes toward each other. So Paul says, think the same thing. It's not about think the same thing, but it's acting together, have same attitude and same feeling about something. Now, Paul's teaching goes further in verse 3. He says, I ask you also, true companion, help these women. Philippians verse 4, verse 3. Now, we don't know who was this person, Paul's true companion. It can be Timothy or Lydia or Epaphroditus who brought this letter. Although we don't know Paul's true companion, we know one thing. These two ladies in Philippi were not able to be united without help. Without help from her brothers and sisters in the Philippian church. Therefore, Paul was asking the entire congregation, because they were reading this letter to their church members, you know, just in front of them. So Paul was asking the entire congregation to have the same mind and same feelings and same attitudes toward these ladies. So Paul was talking to lady, hey, think the same thing. At the same time, he's talking to the congregation. Please help these ladies. Now, Paul's teaching makes us to think about our relationship to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If someone disagrees with you and me and the church, what do we do? Do we try to think the same thing, or do we have the same feelings and attitudes toward one another? I think we should seriously think about that. Since there was a division and disagreement in the Philippi, in the Philippian church, it was obvious that it was really hard to find joy and happiness in the church. So people must have worried about their situations. Oh, what do you have to do? They're fighting. They're not uniting. They didn't know what to do with the dissension or disunity of the church. They must have said, oh, do we have to find another church? What shall we do? Then Paul comes with another exhortation in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Here he repeated twice, really strong. Rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. Joy is one of the distinctive marks of the Christians in Paul's theology based on his letter in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And people say he was a theologian of joy, theologian of grace. Because the source of Christians' joy is not from the earthly things, not from money or honor or power or other material blessings, but our joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy is not from temporal things. Don't look at the temporal things. But from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternal. Christians' joy is not originated from ourselves, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in Paul's mind, it is very clear that the Philippian Christians already have the reason to rejoice because they have Christ in their heart. Nothing else, but they had to rejoice in Christ. We should not miss the last word, always. Paul commanded the Philippian Christians to rejoice in the Lord on all occasions, not only in their good times. We can do that. Something could happen. Yeah, I'm happy. Bad things happen. Oh, I'm so sad. That is not the way Paul's saying. Not only their good times, but also in their bad times, strugglings, rejoice in the Lord. We must rejoice in the Lord all the time. So that the people outside in the world will see your faith and my faith in Christ. That's why Paul says in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to everyone. True joy that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ in us will testify our faith to the Lord. People will ask you, why you are so happy? Actually, it's not our choice, but it's our call to rejoice in the Lord always. I know sometimes we face really sad, discouraged, but remember your call. Rejoice on all occasions. Paul commanded us to rejoice in the Lord. Our God in heaven will be glorified when we rejoice in the Lord on all occasions. Joy, prayer, and thanksgiving were considered the most important words for the Christians in the early church, even in the Old Testament. Now in verse 6 and 7, Paul talks about two things to the Philippian Christians. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and a supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. That's verse 6. From these first two concepts we can get, two concepts of Christian piety comes from these Paul's words. First one is, we should not worry about anything. And the second thing is, we should pray for everything with thanksgiving. Think about it. Should not worry about anything, but should pray for everything with thanksgiving. What Paul wanted to say is he's trying to declare that everything in the world, everything is in God's control, God's hands. He is the God who holds everything. God is upholding the universe and all things in it by his all-powerful word. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. He is the one who created the world, you and me, and continually sustains the world, the whole world. Even he did not abandon us, the sinful world. He loves the world and you and me so much that he gave his one and only son to save us from our sins. It's not us, but God who holds everything in the world. It's not you and me, but God is the one who holds your life and my life. We are not our own, but belong our bodies and souls in life and death to our faithful Christ, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is absolutely nothing to worry about. That is what Paul was trying to say. There is one thing that we should do. We must pray for everything with thanksgiving. Here, thanksgiving is not just saying, hey, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for giving me a nice car. Thank you. No, not that way. But it is an action of our confidence in God. Everything, because everything comes from God as a gift. We know that everything I have is not mine, God's. So everything coming to me, all the blessings, we know that. That's why we say thank you in our confidence in God. Thank you. Therefore, we always give thanks to the Lord, our God. Colossians verse 1 and 3 says, when we pray for everything with thanksgiving, this is God's answer for our prayer. Verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who's protecting you? God will protect your hearts. God will protect your minds. Isn't that wonderful? If God will guard our hearts and minds, what else do we need? If we know that God will guard our hearts and minds, there's nothing to worry about. But in everything, we should pray with thanksgiving. That's what Paul said to the Philippian Christians. Now here Paul concludes the message, his message with more practical things in verse 8. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Verse 4. This is the theme verse for James girls this year. We know that. They have been working so hard to memorize this one. So this is a very special verse for them, I'm sure. However, this verse is also very special to us, especially to the Philippine Christians. There are many ways to explain about this verse, the meaning of these all the words here. But the following is my understanding, to summarize my understanding of verse 4, based on my study. This is what Paul was trying to say to the Philippine Christians. Nothing is true but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live a good, honorable life. Treat others justly as Jesus made us righteous before God. Bring your pure heart to God. Love your neighbors. Keep a good reputation in the community. That is commendable. Today is Pentecost Sunday. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit to his disciples. When the disciples were all together in one place to pray, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. Then they boldly began to preach the gospel without any fear. Now, the same Holy Spirit intervened and prevented Paul's desire to go somewhere to preach the gospel in Asia area. Instead, the Holy Spirit encouraged them, Paul and his companions, to visit the city named Philippi. The same Holy Spirit is working in us, working in your heart and my heart, and in this church. Like Paul, our life and church should be driven by the Holy Spirit, nothing else. Paul started the Philippian church with some women who came to prayer meeting at the riverside. We know some of their names, Euodia, Syntyche, and Lydia. Yes, the woman started the Philippian church. Isn't that great? Today is James Sunday. James means... One more time. That's right. Girls everywhere meet the Savior. We are here today this morning to pray and to support our James ministry. Now, as the women started the Philippian church, actually that church was the first European church in history. I am sure God will use our James girls to change the world. We should not stop supporting. We have to support them. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and commendable, practice these things, James girls, and including all of us. Devote your life to Christ and think twice so that people in the world will see Jesus Christ in me and in you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's remember what the scripture says to us today. Be united in the Lord. If someone in the church disagrees with you, do not simply judge them. Don't ignore them. But with the love of Jesus Christ, try to have the same mind, feelings, and attitudes toward them. And help them. And work together with them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not worry about anything, but in everything we should pray with thanksgiving. And practice these things for the Lord. Paul used a lot of imperatives in this verse. That means commanding, commanding, commanding. Verse 1 through 8, at 9. He says, stand in the Lord, help them, rejoice and rejoice, make known your gentleness, do not worry, make known your request, think about that, and practice these things. We can read Paul's mind and his heart for the church in Philippi. We can read God's heart toward us in these verses. Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice all these things, and God will guard your heart and your mind. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for using your servant Paul. Although he wanted to go somewhere, you interrupted and you led him to a different area. We see that Paul listened to your guidance and voice. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We want to do the same thing. We don't want to go our own ways, but we want to be led by your Spirit. At the same time, would you bless us so that we will be united in the Lord? And we will rejoice in the Lord every day. And help us not forgetting all these things, but remember and practice all these things from today's teaching. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.